Well, welcome everyone to the virtual service this morning. Paul is going to be bringing us the message a little later on today. O Lord, open our lips and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. And as we come to worship, O Lord, we pray that our lips might be opened and our mouth might proclaim your praise. Let us just pray. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Our first song today reminds us that we walk by faith and not by sight.
Yeah. sight.
New Testament reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and this morning Norma is going to read it to us. Thank you, Norma.
Yet we who have this spiritual treasure are like common clay pots in order to show that the supreme power belongs to God, not to us. We are often troubled, but not crushed, sometimes in doubt, but never in despair. There are many enemies, but we are never without a friend. And though badly hurt at times, we are not destroyed. At all times, we carry in our mortal bodies the death of Jesus, so that his life also may be seen in our bodies. Throughout our lives, we are always in danger of death, for Jesus' sake, in order that his life may be seen in this mortal body of ours. This means that death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. The scripture says, I spoke because I believed. In the same spirit of faith, we also speak because we believe. We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus to life, will also raise us up with Jesus and take us together with you into his presence. All this is for your sake, and as God's grace reaches more and more people, they will offer to the glory of God more prayers of thanksgiving. Living by faith. For this reason, we never become discouraged, even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is renewed day after day. And this small and temporary trouble we suffer will bring us a tremendous and eternal glory, much greater than the trouble. For we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen. What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. Amen.
Thank you, Norma. That reading reminds us that Christ is with us every step of the way. We sing our next song in response. Rejoice, rejoice.
Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. Time for us to march upon the land into our hands. He will give the ground we claim. He rides in majesty to lead us into victory. Though I shall see the Christ is Lord. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army, we arise. God is at work in us, his purpose to perform, building a kingdom of power, not of words. Where things impossible by faith shall be made possible. Let's give the glory to him now. Rejoice, rejoice. resting in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, mighty army, we arise. Treasure is within. He turns our weaknesses into his opportunities, so that the glory goes to him. Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in our hearts. He lives, his breath is in you. Arise, a mighty army.
Our second reading is a sung and illustrated version of Psalm 13. And after this reading, Paul will be bringing us the message. Thank you, Adrian. Good morning, everybody. Nice to see you all. Well, some of you anyway. I'm a great one for sort of sayings, actually. And the saying that goes, there are two things certain in this life, death and taxes. But I think I'd like to add a sort of a third thing to that saying. I think there's three things certain in this life: death, taxes, and growing older. And I don't know about you, I've become very conscious recently that I am getting a bit older. You know, I don't seem to have quite as much energy or as much stamina as I used to have. You know, after I've been doing the weekly shop, I need to have a bit of a sit down and recover after it. And you know, really, the grandchildren have been around and they're all gone again. You know, you sit down and you're absolutely, it's a bit of a sad state of affairs, really. But you know, I just can't believe actually I'm 66 this year, and I really can't think of where have all the years have gone.
So I thought this morning we might look at a few of these verses which Norma read. I wanted to look at the last verse of the passage from 2 Corinthians, which is 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians 4, verses 6 to 14. And it makes you think really about, although that, you know, we've got sort of fairly weak bodies and we're fairly frail and things don't last forever, God uses our witnesses to strengthen us and to give us newer things in times of trouble. So I've got 3 points really for us to think about this morning. The first one is that Paul says that we are being renewed. And Paul reminds us of our humanity and our frailty. He starts off by saying, though outwardly we are wasting away. You know, and the fact is, we do grow old, don't we? You know, and the older we get, the less that we seem to be able to do. You know, our bodies don't seem to work quite as well. And, you know, our bodies have got a limited shelf life, haven't they? You know, and I'm sure when you wake up in the morning sometimes, you feel that your best before date is sort of not far away. But, you know, in verse 7, earlier in this chapter, Paul describes us as being like jars of clay. And he says, his treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You know, and if you think about clay jars, they are quite fragile, aren't they? Easily broken. You've got to be careful how you handle pottery. But Paul says that despite the fact that we've got frail and weak bodies, God gives us an inner strength, his spirit. Paul describes it as our treasurer, which will far outlast our human life here on earth. I discovered a while ago that Corinthian pottery in Paul's day was actually translucent. In other words, you can see light through it. So if you imagine a pot almost with a lamp or a candle burning inside it, our lives are a bit like that, aren't we? People, as they see our lives, can see the light of Christ burning within our bodies. But our bodies and our human weaknesses kind of dim that light somewhat. It's only really when we meet God face to face that the pot will be broken away and we shall see the brightness of Christ as it really is. You know, Paul says, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And in other words, you know, God is preparing us for our time when we'll be with him forever. And he increases the light in our lives so it will shine through to others. The second thing that Paul says in this passage is that we're being prepared. He says in verse 18, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that outweighs them all. I think it's pretty fair to say that most of us are probably going through a hard and tough time one way or other at the moment. Whether it's perhaps through illness, through bereavement, being separated from your family and friends, perhaps the stress caused by being on your own, perhaps you've got financial problems and things. I'm sure if we went round everybody this morning, I'm sure, you know, most of you could name probably two or three things that you're concerned about, either things about yourself or things about people that you know. But Jesus, of course, never promised us a life, did he, full of no trouble at all. He said to his disciples the night before he died, he said, in this life, you will have trouble. But of course, Paul himself was very qualified to talk about hardship and struggle. He endured blindness, slander, beatings, stoning, shipwreck, imprisonment, and ultimately execution for the sake of Jesus. And earlier on in that passage, Paul uses some contrasting ideas. And he says, you know, we're on the one hand, we're broken down, but on the other hand, we're not given up. He says, you know, we're hard pressed, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. But the truth is that even though we may experience difficulties or persecution or problems within our life, nothing can actually touch the hope that is within us, that Christ himself gives us. The question is, you know, when the chips are down, when, you know, the whole world seems to be collapsing around us, is Christ the first person that we talk to? You know, when you think about it, you know, our church building has been closed for many weeks now, and it could have been so easy, couldn't it, for people just to completely give up and to completely abandon their faith. But, you know, it's good that God's enabled us to meet together and to keep going. And I believe that these times of real testing can also be times of real blessing and revival as well. It's often times like this, isn't it, when we realise the strength of our faith, you know, that Christ has given us this sort of inner resolve that enables us to keep on going. The third thing is that God enables us to see his plan. We are enabled. And in verse 19, Paul says, so we fix our eyes on what is seen, not what is seen, but what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is seen, unseen, is eternal. I've got a telephone appointment in a few weeks with the eye specialist. And to be honest, I'm wondering how the consultation is going to go over the telephone, given he's not going to be able to see me or actually to look into my eyes at all to see whether I what my eyesight's like. But it may think, actually, that you know, we do regularly need to think about our spiritual eyesight. You know, our faith is our spiritual eyesight. You know, because we're reminded in the Bible that, you know, it's the things that we can't see that are more important than the things that we can. You know, the question is, you know, are we wearing our spiritual glasses all the time, or, you know, do we only put them on now and again? But I do believe that God wants us more and more in these times to see things through his eyes. You know, Paul says that despite all these troubles that he was going through, he was putting his hope on the eternal glory that supersedes momentary troubles. You know, he knew God's power at work in him. He got complete assurance that the one who raised Jesus from the dead was also possible to raise us and to keep us going. Now, we often hear the phrase, I can't see the wood for the trees. And it's true, isn't it? You know, we live in a world with lots of things around us that we can see, and we tend to get a bit bogged down, I think, by the things of this life, the problems, the possessions that we have, they're very sort of tangible, sort of immediate things, aren't they? And because of that, we very often fail to see the bigger picture. But I believe that God's plan is in everything. And sometimes we just need to take a step back and try and look at it from God's eyes and just kind of think, you know, God, what are you trying to do here? You know, what's the bigger picture? How's it all going to plan out at the other day? And just to put our trust in him, that we know that God's got it all in hand. It might seem a bit bad, a bit shaky at the moment, but we can have this confidence that Paul had, that, you know, God has got it all sorted, God's got it all worked out. He's the eternal rock that can never be destroyed. So I just want to leave you with four words today, really, that I think kind of needs to be our motto, perhaps, in these difficult times. We will never give up. We will never give up. And we just need to remember that God's there for us, isn't he? You know, whatever life throws at us, he's there and will keep us safe. Amen.
Thank you, Paul, for your message. Next hymn is Be Still My Soul, The Lord Is On My Side.
Let's spend some time now just being still, as the psalmist said, be still and know that I am God. Let's just be quiet now for a moment. Father God, we just pray now that we might be still in your presence. Be still my soul forever with the Lord. We thank you, Father, that you remind us that whatever the circumstances of our lives, you are always there, always ready to look after us, to help us, to protect us, to encourage us, to love us, to give us whatever we need to see us through, Lord, the storms and the troubles of life. And Father God, we want to thank you today, Lord, for all the blessings that you give us, the reminders that you give us of your love and your presence with us here in this world. We go out on our walks and we experience the joy and the pleasures of your nature, Lord, your creation. We think of the weather, Lord, of the sunshine that we've enjoyed, and of the rain and the wind and the whatever it is, Father, that comes down from heaven, all things belong to you. And so, Father, we just want to bring you our praise and our thanks this morning that you are a great and a loving God who has our very best interests at heart. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we know that despite the fact that you give us all of these blessings, Father, that sin has come into this world and has spoilt much, Father, of what you have created. We're very conscious, Lord, of the violence and of the division, of the hate, Father, of the conflict, Lord, that there are in so many situations, not only in this country, but in many other countries, Father, of the world. We do pray, Father, for peace today. That somehow, Lord, that those who are against each other can find reconciliation. And that, Lord, that we, Lord, might be instruments of peace, that we might help others, Lord, to see that fighting and discord is not the way, but it's love, Lord, that brings people together. We pray, Lord, for those across the world that are in situations where there are wars still going on at the moment, where those, Father, for whom lockdown and for social distancing is almost impossible, Lord, because of the conditions in which they live. And we do pray, Father, for those who are in poverty, those who have very little sanitation or health at all, Father, and we do just bring them to you today. Lord, just be with them. May they know, Lord, that you are there. And we bless those, Father, that go out to help, for our missionary friends, Father, and for others who do so much, Lord, to help folk in other countries. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, Lord, we just think of our own situation, Father. We thank you that we're thinking about the returning to the building, Lord, in a week or two's time. And we thank you, Lord, for those that met the other Saturday to meet for private prayer within the building. We pray, Lord, for all of our friends here at Kingsthorpe, for the young and for the elderly, Lord. We pray particularly, Father, for those that are unwell at this time, those that are going through difficult times, those that have got problems, Lord, that just seem to be unsolvable at the moment. We pray, Lord, for those who've lost loved ones recently. For those, Father, who've got friends, Lord, or family that they've not seen for a long time. We pray for them. Father, we pray for all of those, Father, whose troubles, Lord, seem to be overwhelming them. But Lord, as we looked at in that passage today, we just confident that we have you within us. And Lord, that you will see us through and you will bring us an eternal glory, Father, that we just can't imagine at this moment in time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let's join together now and to say the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We end our time of worship with the hymn that reminds us to always turn to Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, whereby we call you Father. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that we shall all creation may be brought to the glorious liberty of the children of God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God now, and forever. Now let us say the grace together. The grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit
be with us all now and forevermore.
Amen.
We have some news and announcement. There's a Zoom Bible study organised by the Methodists on Thursday, 2nd of July at 7:30 p.m. And it's going to be on Ruth chapter 3. I will send out the link, but if you haven't got the link, please contact either myself or somebody from the Methodists. I think, Trevor, you have it, do you not?
I will have, yes, but Pam Kirkland should be sending out information
okay.
on that.
Okay. Okay. The virtual prayer meetings are again Monday, Wednesday and Friday this week, as usual. And we will be opening the church for private prayer again yes. next Saturday, the 4th of July, between 10 yeah. and 12. The Baptist deacons are meeting tomorrow evening to discuss opening the church for worship. But the service next Sunday, the 5th of July, will be a virtual service. And the preacher will be Martin Turnbull, and we will be including communion. So we will not be meeting at the church next Sunday for a service. We will be continuing with our virtual service. Although the government has said that we can meet in church for services, they have yet to actually give us clear guidance on numbers and what we can do, etc. So until we have got that, we won't be actually able to meet for worship on a Sunday morning. And next Sunday, certainly, we will continue with the Zoom virtual service. Trevor.
If I can just add to that on the Methodist position, it's, I mean, what we're hearing is very much a slowly, slowly, gradual approach. The Methodist conference are meeting this coming week, and we're not expecting any sort of recommendations of what we may or may not be able to do and for a week or so anyhow. And then, as I say, I think what's been might be suggested is a very much a gradual movement towards worship rather yeah. than rather than suddenly all getting back to how we were.
Please do wait for further information. But as I say, we will open on Saturday morning between 10 and 12 for private prayer, as we did 2 weeks ago.
It's supposed to be a meeting discourse.
Not in the church as yet. Are there any other notices? Okay. Just, I think, ought to say that Bronwyn had an operation on Friday. We know that... she has come through that well, and she did text the WhatsApp group Norma told us earlier as we were assembling, and that she is recovering, but our prayers are with her. You may have noticed that Janet and Bob aren't with us this morning. Janet has been unwell for a few days. Nothing that sounds like coronavirus, but she's been unwell and isn't with us. So again, prayers for her and others who have been unwell at this time. And it was her birthday on Friday. So unfortunately, the plans for her birthday were sent awry because they felt they had to spend a quiet day at home rather than being able to go and meet family. So there. Anybody, anything else before we...
Chatter.
So let's just join in fellowship, say hi to each other and bye. And then obviously we can go out, hopefully enjoy the reasonable weather today. The forecast seems to be saying it's going to be pleasant rather than over hot. So let us enjoy that.
Okay then.
Thank you.
Right. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye, Adrian. Bye, everybody.
Bye,
Norma.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. We are reversed by grace.